All right, I'll call to order this Springfield Planning Commission session, June 6, 2017, at this time.
I'll call to order the Lane County Planning Commission, June 6, 2017, meeting as well.
If you'll all please rise and join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, in regard to business from the audience, if you would like to speak, we have cards available to sign up. Brenda, the records keeper over at the front, has those available. Certainly, I would encourage those who wish to speak to sign up. Tonight, we will be conducting a quasi-judicial public hearing related to a zone change and plan amendment brought by Willamette Lane Park and Recreation District. At this time, I will ask our legal counsel to review issues related to conducting a quasi-judicial hearing.
Thank you, Chair. This hearing tonight is characterized as a quasi-judicial hearing. Quasi-judicial means that certain due process procedural rights are associated with this decision-making process. These rights include the right to notice, to present evidence, to have a written decision based upon standards, and to an impartial decision maker. The primary purpose of the hearing is to establish a record upon which a decision can be made. The evidentiary rules associated with these hearings are less restrictive than used in circuit courts, and all relevant testimony, including hearsay, may be considered. Please note the following important aspects of tonight's hearing. You must raise procedural and substantive issues at this hearing or before the City Council and Board of Commissioners joint session, or you will be prohibited from raising those issues subsequently on appeal before the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. A person raising an issue must support that issue with statements or evidence that is sufficiently specific so that the Planning Commission or City Council has an opportunity to respond to the concern or the issue. If you are the applicant, you must raise concerns regarding any proposed conditions of approval to preserve your right to appeal and or seek damages in circuit court. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues related to the proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the Planning Commission or City Council to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. In a quasi-judicial decision-making process, the burden is on the applicant to show by preponderance of the evidence that all applicable approval criteria have been met. The approval criteria for tonight's decision are posted on the wall directly opposite me. They are also outlined in the staff report and will be summarized by staff in their presentation. The record in this matter consists of the application and any supporting information, staff reports and supporting documents, and any testimony and documentary evidence that is admitted during this hearing. If you want an item entered into the record, present that item to the planning secretary orally or in writing. If there is any question in your mind whether any material is in the record, please make a point of asking that it be accepted into the record. By statute, you have the right to request that the record be held open for 7 days. You do not have to give a reason for the request, but you must make the request before the hearing is closed. If new evidence is introduced during that time, the record may be held open for an additional period of time to allow other parties an opportunity to respond to new evidence. You also have the right to request a continuance of the hearing, but a continuance is discretionary with the Planning Commission. The party requesting a continuance must show that prejudice to his or her rights will not be cured by merely holding the record open. This hearing is recorded on tape, so I ask those who wish to testify to follow a few procedures. First, you will testify from the seat where I am currently sitting. I will be moving, not from your seats in the audience. Second, begin your testimony by stating your name and address for the record. This enables the Planning Secretary and the Planning Commission to identify the testimony offered by each speaker and will assist in creating a transcript of the hearing if that is necessary. Finally, if you want a copy of the written decision, please provide your name and address to the Planning Secretary. The Planning Commission will issue its recommendation to the City Council after the record is closed. The City Council will conduct a final evidentiary hearing on this matter at a later date. The City Council's decision will be final. Any person who participated in the hearings may appeal the City Council's decision to the Land Use Board of Appeals. Please consult an attorney regarding the deadline of appeal and the form for an appeal. Oregon land use law requires that the Planning Commission disclose any ex-party contacts or conflicts of interest related to this matter and allow any person to challenge a Planning Commissioner for bias. Generally, a conflict of interest involves a situation where the decision-maker, his or her family or business would benefit or suffer by his or her decision. An ex-party contact is a communication to the decision-maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. Commissioner, at this time, it is appropriate to open the hearing.
Okay. At this time, actually, I will turn the floor over to Randy Ledeck, the chair of the Lane County Planning Commission, for review of rules related to
the Lane County Planning Commission's public hearing is also quasi-judicial in interest, so for the record, I'll summarize our procedural rules. Our recommendation is subject to Metro Plan Amendment criteria cited in the staff report to the Planning Commission along with the attachments. Evidence and testimony must be directed toward the approval criteria. Failure to raise an issue to enable a response may preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, otherwise known as LUBA. This is an opportunity for those present to enter information into the record, and only persons who qualify as a party may appeal the board's decision to LUBA.
Okay. So at this time, I will open the public hearing of the Springfield Planning Commission.
And at this time, I open the public hearing for the Lane County Planning Commission. This is agenda item title 509-PA17-05292, a type 2 amendment to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan, the Metro Plan, pursuant to the criteria at Lane Code 12.225. Specifically, the applicant requests to change the plan diagram designation of 10 parcels within the Thurston Hills Natural Area Park from low density residential to parks and open space.
Okay, at this time, Springfield Planning Commission, you will need to declare any potential conflicts of interest or disclose any ex parte contacts. Planning commissioners?
None.
I would state that I am an elected official. I serve on the Willamette Lane Board of Directors. I believe that I can make a decision tonight based on the information as it's provided and the findings as presented.
Do any Lane County Planning Commission members have any ex parte contacts to disclose or abstentions due to conflicts of interest or biases? Good.
Okay. All right. Staff report. We'll start with Andy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Metro Plan Amendment and Zone Change request before you this evening is for approximately 666 acres of property in southeast Thurston Hills. We have the delineated area identified on a map of Springfield on the screen behind some of you in the corner of the room. The portion of property that lies outside the city's urban growth boundary has been identified with a hatch pattern. There's two separate portions of it. The bulk of the property being sort of the southern extreme of the land holding. And there is one sort of a corner piece that is also outside of Springfield urban growth boundary and falls within Lane County jurisdiction. So for the portions that are inside the city limits, or city urban growth boundary, pardon me, they are currently designated a low density residential in accordance with the Metro Plan diagram. I've outlined the pattern or the land holding boundary on the Metro Plan diagram. The portion that is being sought for redesignation and rezoning has been identified in the city's residential housing inventory as being vacant land predominantly. However, it is heavily constrained by steep slopes and landslide hazard areas, as we'll get into it a little bit more, and also in the applicant's presentation this evening. At present, the portion within the urban growth boundary is zoned low-density residential. And I would note that there's a portion in the extreme southeast corner that is currently zoned light-medium industrial. And that is, both portions are proposed to be rezoned to public land and open space. The metro plan designation for this action is parks and open space. This property lies within an identified, predominantly within an identified landslide hazard area, and Springfield staff have superimposed the boundaries of the site on the landslide hazard areas map. As we discussed in the work session, and it'll be reiterated here, a significant proportion of this property is on steep and potentially unstable slopes. There are some developable portions that have been identified. They're somewhat central to and embedded within the landholding. As was discussed during the work session, it would be a significant challenge to get to that point to extend urban services, roads, and to develop the portions of the property that are deemed developable, slopes notwithstanding. A significant proportion is outside of the 25% slope, exceeding 25% slope. Staff also notes that there's a significant elevation change over the property. It ascends about 500 feet from the McKenzie Highway frontage atop the ridgeline before dropping back down to the southeast along the Weyerhaeuser Hall Road. So it extends around 2.5 linear miles from a property that fronts onto McKenzie Highway, where the historic Gray home is located, over to the Weyerhaeuser Hall Road, which is abuts the Jasper Meadows neighborhood along Bobstraw Parkway. So that, in essence, is the request before you this evening. And I will have my counterpart, Amber, present the county's portion.
The county application before you is file number 509 PA1705292, a request for a type 2 amendment to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan pursuant to the criteria at Lane Code 12.225. The proposal is intended to allow future implementation of the Thurston Hills Natural Area within the urban growth boundary. The portion of the subject site affected by the proposed metro plan amendment is within the City of Springfield urban growth boundary, and that portion is approximately 421 acres in size. The balance of the subject site is outside the metro plan boundary and city urban growth boundary and is within the county's jurisdiction. Per Lane Code 12.205, amendments to the metro plan diagram for the area between city limits and a plan boundary, as the case is with this application, are processed as type 2 amendments and joint review between the Lane County and City of Springfield is required. Per Lane Code 12.220, joint notice of public hearing was posted on the subject property, was mailed to adjacent property owners, and was published in the Register Guard on May 16th, 2017. The criteria are in Lane Code 12.225, they generally mirroring the city's criteria for the metro plan amendment. The criteria require that the proposed amendment is consistent with the relevant statewide planning goals, and the proposed amendment does not make the metro plan internally inconsistent. The city staff report addresses these criteria, and it's been provided in the June 2nd, 2017 memo to the Planning Commission. That version of the staff report replaces and supersedes the staff report attached to the May 30th Planning Commission staff report. Earlier today, staff received a question from Commissioner Weeks regarding statewide planning goal 4 compliance. So I just wanted to provide a little more information about that as it relates to the proposal. Portions of the subject site are within the county are designated forests on the rural comprehensive plan, and they're zoned F1 non-impacted forest and F2 impacted forest. Those will retain their planning designation and zoning. And the proposal only affects portions of the subject property that are within the urban growth boundary and coterminous metro plan boundary. There are no lands designated forests within the metro plan boundary as described in the city staff report. Goal 4 is intended to preserve timber lands and applies to rural lands outside of urban growth boundaries. Therefore, staff find that this goal does not apply to the proposal. The applicant states that William Mullane's intent is to seek separate land use approvals for county zoning as needed in the future. The May 30th, 2017 staff report includes some general information about public park uses that are allowed through a special use permit in the F1 and F2 zones. However, the proposal before you this evening is separate from future actions or future land use processes that may be required. Additionally, Lane County Transportation Planning has provided some comments regarding statewide planning goal 12 compliance, and those have been distributed to Lane County Planning Commissioners. Those are consistent with the staff report.
Couple final things. Thank you.
Andy.
Thank you. And I appreciate Amber touching on things that I didn't in my summary. Including the area that's affected. One note I guess I would have is that the current low-density residential zoning does not allow for the proposed use of this property as a natural area park. So it does require rezoning to public land and open space for such an extensive area to be essentially one large contiguous natural area park. The other thing also that I would note is that there are subsequent, similar to the county's requirements, there would be subsequent land use actions required for further development of the park, anticipated to be low intensity recreational type of facilities. The applicant did seek initial approval for a trailhead parking lot and obtained that, and also annexed the portion of the Gray House and the Trailhead parking lot. Recently, City Council has taken action to annex that property. So the next steps, should the Metro Plan Amendment Zone Change proceed, would be for some type of site plan review for trails and other, low intensity improvements of this property. Further details about the planned use I anticipate to be in the applicant's submittal and their testimony this evening. So I am deferring some of the details and the juicier tidbits that they can provide.
Okay. Any questions from staff this time? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to testimony from the applicant.
Thank you, Lane County and City Springfield Planning Commissioners. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Colin MacArthur. I'm with Cameron McCarthy. Our address is 160 East Broadway, Eugene, Oregon, and I represent the applicant, which is William Mullane Park and Rec District. I'm joined by Eric Adams, who's the Planning Development Director for William Mullane. I've asked Eric to provide some background on the project, a project that dates back to the early 2000s and for which a lot of community involvement has already been done. And he's going to tell us about the work that William Mullane's done with the community and the long-term vision for development of the park.
Thanks, Colin. Good evening. As Colin mentioned, my name is Eric Adams, Planning and Development Manager with William Mullane Park and Recreation District. Our address is 250 South 32nd Street in Springfield, 97478. I'm here tonight to encourage your support for the recommendation of an approval to the Metro Plan Amendment and Zone Change request before you. Like the Mill Race Path that we recently completed this winter and the Mill Fork Path before that, the Thurston Hills Natural Area is a project that the community has been requesting for many years, and that Willamette Lane and the City of Springfield have been collaborating on for well over a decade. Some of those key points of collaboration include the following. In 2003, the City Council and the Willamette Lane Board of Directors unanimously endorsed and agreed to fund the Rivers to Ridges Vision and Strategic Plan. In that plan, the Thurston Hills Natural Area was identified as a future site of a natural area park. In 2004, Willamette Lane's comprehensive plan identified Thurston Hills as a possible future park area. Subsequently, in 2006, Willamette Lane and the City of Springfield jointly purchased the 3-acre Gray Jaqua Homestead property that staff mentioned in their presentation, a portion of which is now being developed as a new trailhead for the Thurston Hills Natural Area. Subsequent acquisition by Willamette Lane of an additional 170 acres that was then owned by the Gray family followed that process. During an extensive public outreach process, Willamette Lane conducted leading up to its 2012 comprehensive plan update, natural area parks were identified as one of the highest rated priorities. When the comprehensive plan was adopted in 2012, Thurston Hills Ridgeline Park was one of the key projects identified for near-term implementation. In November 2012, we were fortunate enough to receive public support for a $20 million bond measure, which specifically included acquisition of property in the Thurston Hills for a natural area park and trail system. During that time frame, in between 2012 and 2013, Willamette Lane worked closely with the Trust for Public Land to secure two Willamette Wildlife Mitigation Program grants and entered into purchase agreements with the Bonneville Power Administration for an additional 316 acres that were subject to existing conservation easements. Urbanized development within these acres is strictly prohibited due to regulatory requirements set down through the grant program. Similar use limitations also apply to a 79-acre community forest designation that was implemented in conjunction with a $250,000 grant awarded by the U.S. Forest Service through its community forest program. To date, Willamette Lane has leveraged its bond funding in conjunction with federal grant funds to acquire several hundred acres of natural area, and the Thurston Hills Natural Area Park is now 665 acres. Another key point and step in our process of developing this park for the community includes an MOU that was entered into with the City of Springfield in August of 2016, requiring us to redesignate the entire acreage to public lands and open space prior to proceeding with any additional development of trails or park improvements. So, this application is, in essence, a completion of that requirement. Over the past year, Willamette Lane staff have completed a management plan for the entire 665-acre natural area. It identifies key actions to enhance natural values on the site and to provide compatible public access. With the plan's implementation over the next several years, the community can realize its decades-long dream of having a fantastic place to hike, bike, observe wildlife, and enjoy scenic vistas right here in the Springfield community. As part of our planning process, I also would like to point out that we have entered into the aforementioned MOU as well as a pending draft MOU that addresses the need for potential street extensions through the property, and that will be further assessed if and when development on adjacent properties so warrants. In closing, the subject Metro Plan Amendment and Zone Change applications before you this evening represent the culmination of our efforts, those of the City of Springfield, Lane County, Trust for Public Land, and our various federal partners, by formally endorsing use of the Thurston Hills Natural Area as the community has long envisioned. We appreciate your consideration of these requests, concur with staff's recommendation to recommend approval by the City Council and the Lane County Board of Commissioners. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have, but I know Colin has some additional findings he would like to present to you as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do have a clarifying question for you, Mr. Adams. You said something about there was an agreement that all of the land would be rezoned to parks and open space. Does that include eventually the land that's beyond the urban growth boundary as well?
No, sir. It's exclusive to the land within the UGB.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric, for that background information. I'd like to use my testimony to detail the justification for the request and to highlight portions of our findings that demonstrate compliance with key approval criteria. The subject property is approximately 665 acres. The accurate total is 665.81. So we've heard 666 and 665. That explains the discrepancy. And it consists of 10 contiguous parcels. Approximately 421 acres are located within Springfield's urban growth boundary, and 245 acres located outside the UGB within Lane County. Within Springfield, properties are designated low-density residential by the Metro Plan, and low-density residential with a small portion of light-medium industrial by the Springfield zoning ordinance. Within Lane County, the properties are designated forest by the Metro Plan, and F1 and F2 by the Lane County zoning map. This action is necessary because the community vision for Thurston Hills Natural Area Park cannot be realized under the current plan and zone designations. The proposed use is consistent with the definition of a regional park in the Springfield Development Code, which in part states a large area of natural quality for outdoor recreation, generally comprising 100 acres or more, where 80% of the land is reserved for natural open space and 20% is used for recreation development. Regional parks are not permitted in the LDR zone. The only park facilities that are permitted in the LDR zone are neighborhood parks and private parks. Within Lane County, parks are permitted subject to planning director or special use permit approval, and Wetland Lane does intend to follow up with a special use permit within Lane County jurisdiction at the time of development, which has not yet been determined. So at a later date, we'll be following through with the Lane County land use process. The planned zone amendment approach is the only viable alternative for enabling recreational development. Wetland Lane has willingly assumed the risks associated with time and cost to clean up the designations and to get this right. Regarding the approval criteria, much of the discussion in the city and county staff reports revolves around the application's compliance with Goal 7, Goal 8, Goal 10, and Metro Plan policies related to the buildable residential land supply. Springfield residential land and housing needs analysis was adopted in 2011. According to the RLHNA, Springfield has a 378-acre surplus of low-density residential land, and another important point, a 357-acre deficit of parks and open space land. Wetland Lane's comprehensive plan adopted in 2012 also identifies a similar deficit of parks and open space land at 364 acres, respectively. The subject property contains approximately 11 acres of LMI zoned property that is designated low density residential. Because of that planned zone conflict, the property was not included in the city's commercial industrial buildable land survey. Therefore, this proposed amendment has no impact on that inventory. As part of determining the effect of the amendment on land supply, we obtained the RLHNA database and determined that 159.08 acres within the subject site is accounted for as buildable residential acres. The city staff report notes that recently about 7 acres of LDR was removed from the inventory after the adoption of Ordinance 6364. After accounting for the change in designation, approval of the amendment would result in a remaining surplus of 211 acres within the city's inventory of LDR land. Approval of the amendment would fully address the deficit of parks and open space land within the city. The city staff report notes the applicability of the HD overlay district to the subject property, and the applicant agrees that finding is correct. The majority of the subject property is vacant and is constrained by steep slopes. The application of the HD overlay district regulations are intended to determine the net developable area for residential use, as well as minimum lot sizes, frontage, and number of units. Because the subject property contains steep slopes, some in excess of 35%, which correspond to a minimum lot size of 40,000 square feet, the anticipated residential density following application of the HD regulations would be significantly less than the 6214 dwelling units per net acre that is specified in straight LDR. We have taken a preliminary look at this. There are three categories of lot sizes in HD, 15 to 25, 25 to 35, above 35. And we believe about two-thirds of the site to be above the 15% to 35%, or 15% and above, which means that the lot sizes, the minimum lot sizes that we can get on the property are going to be much smaller. And then, as Planner Lindbergh pointed out, I think what we'd end up with is a marbled and disparate location of lots and developable areas that would also be very difficult to serve by roads and utilities. That analysis that could be provided under HD regulations really has no fundamental effect on the finding. The proposed action maintains the surplus of residential land and makes up the deficit of parks land. This request is an important step in realizing the vision for Thurston Hills Natural Area. Both the city and county staff have found that the application satisfies applicable approval criteria. We support their work and concur with the recommendations that the city and concur with the recommendations. And we support the city and county planning commissions, respectively, in forwarding the application to the Springfield City Council and the Lane County Board of Commissioners with a recommendation for approval. Thank you for your time and your consideration. I'd be happy to take any questions now.
Any questions at this time? Hearing none. Questions? Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We have testimony and support. I only have one request for public testimony. Do we have any testimony in support of the application? Any testimony opposed to the application? Any testimony, any neutral testimony at this time? I do have a request from Dan.
That's a mistake.
Okay, mistake?
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Okay.
You need embellishment about what kind of mistake it is. It's just a mistake.
It's for the next event.
Okay. Oh. For the next session.
The next room.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So summation by staff at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the applicant has pointed out, and as you find in your staff report, the applicant has met the criteria of approval for Metro Plan Amendment and Zone Change, supported by findings of fact contained in their submittal and supplemented by staff's analysis and findings in your staff reports. I would make note of some typos in your recommended your adopted recommendation final order, so staff would need to replace those should you choose to deliberate this evening and pass along a recommendation. There we would need to update those with correct dates and file references, but aside from that, everything is in order and it does meet the criteria of approval. So the recommendation to proceed to City Council and Board of County Commissioners on September 18th.
What would you need to revise again?
In the, as pointed out by County staff, this is a Type 2 metro plan amendment. I think staff has cited a type 1 metro plan amendment in the final order and recommendation that is in your packet.
Okay.
Staff also had erroneous dates in the zone change final order and recommendation, and there was, I think, a January date that had been accidentally included. I believe Commissioner Bowes had pointed that out, so thank you. And that's my fault for not changing the dates on that. So, aside from that, the content is substantially the same. It's there was a couple of Scrivener's errors, so to speak, for the dates.
Okay. And summation by county staff.
Thanks. In conclusion of the county staff report, staff adopts the city's staff report and findings and finds that there's no major policy issues and that the proposed refinement, the proposed plan amendment complies with the metro plan, statewide planning goals, and other applicable state statutes. The Planning Commission has three options. You can make a motion to forward if you choose to close the hearing and deliberate this evening. For the type 2 metro plan amendment to the Lane County Board of Commissioners and Springfield City Council with a recommendation for approval. Recommend approval with specific modifications or recommend denial. And staff recommends option 1, forwarding the type 2 metro plan amendment to the Lane County Board of County Commissioners with a recommendation for approval. And that concludes staff report.
Okay. Any further questions of staff at this time? Yes.
I want to ask about the Hillside Development Overlay District. Is that only applicable before this amendment, if it goes through, for residential land and non-applicable to the land once it is changed out of residential zoning?
That's a good question, and thank you for asking it. No, the Hillside Development, and I believe it was abbreviated HD overlay, so I'll clarify, the HD overlay district is Hillside Development. And it applies to any areas over 670 feet elevation within the city, which is a substantial portion of this property, regardless of the slope, as well as areas with excess of 15% slope. So it would apply to any type of development, irrespective of the zoning. So the overlay district applies to the feature and the nature of the land, notwithstanding the zoning beneath it. So changing the zoning designation does not change the applicability of the Hillside Development Overlay.
To follow up, I have here, and I may be misunderstanding this, 3.3510 applicability on the Springfield Development Code reads the HD overlay district is applied to residential zoning districts above 670 feet elevation or to development areas below 670 feet in elevation. Where any portion of the development area exceeds 15% slope. So that would be the second part then?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other questions? Okay. Hearing none. At this time, Springfield Planning Commission, we have a couple of things in front of us. One is consideration or entertaining a motion to close the public hearing at this time.
I move to close the public hearing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Commissioner Dunn moves, Commissioner Nelson seconds to close the public hearing at this time. All Springfield commissioners in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Also, consideration of closing the written record at this time.
I move that we close the written record.
Moved by Commissioner Vos, seconded by Commissioner Nelson to close the written record at this time. All Springfield commissioners in favor, so signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The written record and the public hearing are closed for the Springfield Planning Commission at this time.
Do any Lane County Planning Commissioners see any need to keep either the hearing or the record open? Seeing none, then we'll close both the public hearing and the public record for Lane County.
Okay. All right, this is our opportunity to deliberate. As we stated at the beginning of the session, we will jointly deliberate. If we have any issues or concerns, those certainly can be voiced, and we could certainly deliberate as separate entities as well. So I would open deliberations on the floor. Questions, comments related to the...
When I originally saw this, I was concerned about pulling all the residential land out of the inventory because that's been such a big issue both with the comprehensive plan amendments for Springfield, and it's an ongoing battle in Eugene. When I read through the staff report, though, and what Lameline said, it made it pretty clear to me that there's no downside to this, that we're not pulling enough residential land out to create any kind of an adverse impact, and we're solving a shortage of park and open space land that's been identified. So it, I think it really solves the problem without creating another problem. So I would support the proposal.
Others?
I noted that we had one contact, written contact from a person who adjoins on South 72nd, I believe. And we're just reassured from staff that any trails, et cetera, that are planned through there would need a secondary application status before, so that this would provide plenty of time for input for residents who adjoin the area prior to any development.
That's correct. In that particular instance, the property owners backed directly onto the property and so received notification. Staff looked at the air photos, and it's our understanding, I think Willamette Lane has confirmed this, that the initial trail system will be based substantially on some existing vehicle tracks through the area where there was some timber thinning that's taken place over a number of years, and that would essentially form the spine or the major primary trail through the area. In determining the distance between their property line and this primary trail, it was about 400 feet as near as we could determine. And so in a pretty heavily wooded environment, that was completely out of sight and hearing for all intents and purposes from their property. Now, that's not to say that there won't be some neighborhood connection points that certainly would be anticipated, where there'd be some feeder trails that would link to the network, not just two ends. But as the trail system is planned and as evolves, and there's more details available, all of the affected property owners on the boundaries will be notified and provided opportunity to comment on the trail system planning and construction that will be occurring in this area. So they should hopefully be rest assured that there's not going to suddenly be people, right behind their property line. I think the intent is to have capture and keep people more internal to the natural area, not on the outer boundary of it, essentially.
So I just wanted on the record that there was plenty of room for input from residents in the area prior to development taking
Correct.
Place.
As well, should we choose to forward to the City Council and Planning Commission, there will also be opportunity for input at those sessions and public hearings. And that's scheduled for September
18th. Yes. I guess I would note that it will be presented to the Board of Commissioners probably in August. Board needs to review with first reading an ordinance before it goes to public hearing. It's slightly different than the Springfield City Council's procedure, whereby they can do a public hearing for first reading. So there'll be an initial reading of the amending ordinance or adopting ordinance by the Board of County Commissioners probably sometime in mid to late August before it's presented at the joint hearing on September 18th. I guess I would note, and it was, I don't we didn't really go through too much of the public comment because there hasn't been really anything negative or alarming with the comment. There have been a couple of phone calls of interest from people. I can share that with you. The property owner that has the rectangular piece where there's kind of a divot in the middle, just upper left of where it says site, there's a rectangular piece of property there. So they had expressed interest, and when it was shared with them that there was going to be a natural area park essentially wrapping around the property, we're quite pleased with the prospect of having, you know, what could be a very premium development area at the upper end of the sort of the developable portion backing onto a natural area park. So that was good news and not bad news for that particular inquiry that came to our front counter the other day. So.
Good. Other comments? Yes.
I'm satisfied that in the Lane County staff report by incorporation of the city staff report that the findings adequately address the criteria. So I'm in favor of the proposal.
I would so state the same thing. I think this is clearly my biggest concern was the buildable lands. I won't restate that. I think, knowing that terrain up there and knowing the steepness of the slopes there and the difficulty in developing those lands, and then also addressing the shortage of PLO land within the city, I think this really solves. I think this really doesn't create a problem on one side, and certainly help solve a problem on the other side. So, okay. Anything else? Springfield Planning Commission. I would certainly entertain a motion first to recommend to the City Council the Metropolitan Area General Plan redesignation.
Chair, I move to approve, or excuse me, move to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve TYP 417-00001, William Lane Parks and Recreation District's application for a Type 2 amendment to the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan diagram to redesignate approximately 421 acres of property, including 7575 McKenzie Highway and 9 adjoining parcels from LDR to Parks and Open Space because the application meets the applicable criteria of approval.
Okay. Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Dunn, second by Commissioner Nelson, to forward a recommendation for the Metro General Plan amendment to the City Council as presented. Springfield Planning Commissioners, signify by saying aye if you are in support.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Our second action is that of a zoning map amendment. I would certainly entertain a motion related to the zoning map amendment change.
I would move to forward a recommendation to the City Council to approve TYP 317-00003. Willamette Lane Parks and Recreation District's application to rezone Assessor's Map 1702-3500, Tax Lots 3500, 3602, and 3604, Map 1802-0200, Tax Lots 100, 400, and 401, Map 1802-0300, Tax Lots 600 and 602, and Map 1802-1000, Tax Lot 100 from LDR to Public Land and Open Space, and Rezone Assessor's Map 1802-0900, Tax Lot 100 from Light Medium Industrial to Public Lands and Open Space, with the conditions of approval contained in the staff report and findings, because the application meets the applicable criteria of approval.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Cuevas, seconded by Commissioner Nelson. And I will not restate the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I'll turn it over to Randy.
Is there a motion from the Lane County Planning Commission?
I'd like to forward a motion for approval to the Board of County Commissioners for the Type 2 Metro Plan Amendment portion of the Willamette Lane Metro Plan Amendment, 509 PA 17-05292.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
I think Commissioner Sisson made the motion. Commissioner Thorpe heard the first, made the second. Any further discussion? Members of Lane County Planning Commission, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. All right. At this time, we will adjourn the Springfield Planning Commission and Planning Commissioners. We will move to the council chambers to conduct a second public hearing. And I would just like to thank the Lane County Planning Commission for attending tonight and being part of this joint process. I think that this is a legacy piece of property. We are very proud in the metropolitan area with our Rivers to Ridges plan to think in terms of a 20, 30, 40 year threshold. So as we construct and build out, we have some natural areas that we can get to and enjoy. So thank you for your part in this process.
Thank you for inviting us. Staff worked great job. Lane County Planning Commission, we're going to take a recess till 8 o'clock and stay right here and continue the agenda.
Thank you.